Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, happy 4th of July, and welcome to our broadcast on this Wednesday. It's great to have you with us. Hope you're driving to a picnic or cooking up something wonderful in your kitchen or sorting out the fireworks or something. Be careful with all of that. We're so glad you're listening to us today. It's great to hang out with you and come into your home, your car, your camper, your picnic site. We're really excited about the series that we're in today because Derek Prince has been talking to us about Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And I just have to say as we head into this that if there's any people who have an obligation to be giving thanks to God, and I know we're talking about 4th of July, rather than Thanksgiving time, but it's absolutely Americans. We have been a blessed people. And if there's anything wrong with this country, certainly it has its roots in the fact that we've lost our attitude of gratitude to God. So be thankful today for what you have in this nation and what God has done in this country. In fact, that carries us right into what Derek's going to be talking to us about today, because in addition to everything else he's been teaching us, today he's going to teach us that Thanksgiving is a key that unlocks God's miracle working power. And boy, if that's true at the national level, then us being grateful for what we have may very well bring about a change in our nation. Let's listen now as Derek Prince teaches us about Thanksgiving, praise, and worship.
I'm going to speak about Thanksgiving as a requirement for entering God's presence. The first scripture that I'll turn to is Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5, where the psalmist says this, "Enter his gates," and he's talking, of course, about God's gates, "enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations." The psalmist here pictures two stages in our approach to God. The first stage is the gates. The second is the courts. And there's an appropriate way to enter each stage. We enter the gates with thanksgiving, but the courts with praise. In other words, the first stage of our approach to God is with thanksgiving. That gets us in through the gates. Then we move on through the courts with praise. But these are the two essential phases of our approach to God. We enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. The psalmist also gives us three specific reasons why we should thank God. They are stated in verse 5. The Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness to all generations. Notice that every one of these reasons is permanent and unchanging. The Lord is always good. His loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness is to all generations. In other words, the primary reasons for giving God thanks do not depend on our feelings or our circumstances. These may change. We may feel up one day and down the next. Our circumstances may change. In fact, they frequently do. Sometimes they seem encouraging. Sometimes they seem discouraging. But whether our circumstances are encouraging or discouraging is no reason for us to change our attitude of thankfulness to God. For our thankfulness is not based primarily on our circumstances or our feelings. It's based on eternal, unchanging facts about God. The Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness is to all generations. If we're going to approach God with thanksgiving on this basis, very often it means that we're going to have to change our focus. We're going to have to look away from things that irritate us or discourage us or provoke us. And we're going to have to look at other things, eternal things, seeing them with the eye of faith. And this change in focus is extremely important for us, because when we come to God with our focus right, we're in a position to hear from God and to receive from God. Now, another thing that I need to say about thanksgiving or thankfulness, and it's directly related to the first, is that this approach is necessary to make all other forms of prayer successful. Let's look first at petition, the kind of prayer in which we're asking God for something specific. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul says this, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Paul says we're to worry about nothing, but anything we need, we're to bring to God in petition and in requests. But Paul says, never come to God with a petition or a request without coming with thanksgiving. Let me read those words again. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The result of that, God says, Paul says, is this. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So one key to peace of mind is always approaching God with thanksgiving. I'd like to just mention a particular way in which I myself at times practice prayer. Sometimes I make written lists of the things that I want to pray to God about, the people, the situations. But I make it an absolute rule always to begin every section of my list with thanksgiving and then move on to my petitions and my requests. And I find the more I practice this, the more I have to thank God for. In fact, sometimes my lists of thanksgivings are longer than my lists of petitions. And that tremendously builds up my own faith. When I've made a long list of thanksgivings, and then I come to the petitions, I come with an attitude of expectation. I really feel confident that just as God has answered all the prayers and supplied all the needs that I've been thanking Him for, so He will answer the prayers and supply the needs that are listed in my petitions. I've said that giving God thanks is necessary to make our petitions effective. This applies also to our intercessions. By intercession, I mean when we're not asking for something for ourselves, but we're praying for something for others. One of the most remarkable things about the writings of Paul is that from his writings we learn that whenever he entered into intercession for others, he always began by giving God thanks. He never went straight to petition or intercession, but he always began by giving thanks. I'm going to give you a number of examples now from the epistles of Paul, and I want you to notice how absolutely invariable is his practice of starting by thanking God for the people he's going to pray for. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of His Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times." Notice, first, thanksgiving, then prayers for the people. Ephesians 1, 15 and 16. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Notice, I give thanks for you, then I remember you in my prayers. Philippians 1, 3 and 4. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." Notice Paul never prayed without first giving thanks. Colossians 1, 3. "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." We always thank when we pray. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2. "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers." 2 Timothy 1, 3. "I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers." The order is unvarying. Always first give thanks, then intercede.
You know, if Psalm 100 is true, and we certainly believe that it is, then we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. In other words, worship, praise, thanksgiving is how we come into the presence of God. All of this is based on the tabernacle typology of the Old Testament. But you know what? It's not just the Old Testament. It's the way the courtroom of God is created in heaven. And this is how we come into His presence. This is how we're changed by the shining light of His glory. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Do you long to truly know God? To actually experience a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Creator? In His newly released book, Entering the Presence of God, Derek Prince shows you the spiritual power of worship and the importance of a thankful heart. Through its pages, you'll discover how to live free from the bondage of guilt and sin and truly enter God's rest through His marvelous presence. Don't wait. Order your copy of Entering the Presence of God today. The cost is just $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the way into the very presence of God and experience the spiritual, physical, and emotional blessings that come from true worship. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or order your copy of Entering the Presence of God when you visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. Thanks for being with us. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Happy 4th of July to you. I hope you're grateful for everything God has done in our country. Today, Derek Prince is teaching us about how gratitude, about how Thanksgiving, opens up a channel, so to speak, of the supernatural in our lives, of miracles in God's work. God responds to the thanksgiving and praise of His people. Let's learn more.
I'm going to speak about Thanksgiving as a key to unlock the miracle-working power of God. I'm going to take my first example from the story of Jonah. Probably you recall the story of this disobedient prophet, Jonah, who lived in Gath-Hepher in the mountains of Galilee. God spoke to him and told him to go with a message to the Gentile city of Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire. But it didn't suit Jonah to go to Nineveh, so Jonah ran away from the Lord. He went exactly the opposite direction. God told him to go east. He went west. It's worth noticing that from the moment Jonah turned his back on God, every step that he took after that was a step downwards. He went down from the mountains to the coastal plain. He went down from the coastal plain to the city. He went down from the city to the harbor. He went down from the harbor into the ship. And you know the rest of the story. From the ship he went down into the very depths of the sea. But there God's mercy reached him. God had prepared a great fish that swallowed up Jonah. And Jonah spent the next 3 days and nights in the belly of the fish. Jonah chapter 2 records the prayer that Jonah prayed there in the fish's belly. I'm sure there was plenty of motivation to pray in that situation. The prayer is interesting. It begins with a lot of praying and a lot of crying out to God. And apparently nothing changes in Jonah's circumstances. But then in verse 9, Jonah changes the way he's praying. And he says this to the Lord, "But I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord." Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Notice what produced results. It wasn't just praying. It wasn't just crying out. But when Jonah started to give thanks, things happened. Jonah's thanksgiving triggered the Lord's mercy and brought his deliverance. May I offer that to you as a suggestion? Perhaps you may feel that you're somehow in the belly of the fish, and you've cried and prayed, and there doesn't seem to be any answer. Why not do what Jonah did? Start to give God thanks. That's a wonderful expression of faith, to thank God from the belly of the fish. And it touches God's heart. And it moves Him to do something on our behalf. You see, there's an important principle involved there. The principle that faith is of no avail without works, without deeds, without appropriate actions. This principle is stated twice in James chapter 2, verse 20. "You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?" And again in verse 26, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." So just to say we have faith and do nothing about it is of no effect. Faith must be accompanied by appropriate actions. Now when Jonah was there in the belly of the fish, he didn't have many options. Really, there was only one thing he could do to express his faith. What was that? To thank God. And that expression of faith was sufficient. And I'd like to say this, that thanking God is the simplest possible expression of our faith in Him. It's very, very important. Often when we pray without thanking God, what we have is faith without works. And the Bible says that's useless. So remember, when there's nothing else you can do to demonstrate that you have faith, giving thanks to God is the simplest expression of your faith and one that really works. Now, I'd like to take some examples from the ministry of Jesus Himself, which show us the tremendous power that's latent in giving thanks, how giving thanks can release the greatest miracles. Two of the greatest miracles in the earthly ministry of Jesus were triggered by His giving thanks. The first is the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. You'll recall that 5,000 men, plus women and children, probably a group of more than 10,000 persons, had been with Jesus a long while. They were in a desert place. There was nothing for them to eat, and they were hungry. And Jesus said, "What are we going to give them to eat?" And Andrew said, "Well, there's a boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what is that amongst so many?" And Jesus simply took the 5 loaves, and this is what He did. It's recorded in John 6:11. Jesus, therefore, took the loaves, and having given thanks, He distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. Notice the simplicity. It doesn't say that Jesus prayed. All He did was give thanks. But His giving thanks released the miracle-working power of God to make 5 loaves and 2 fishes sufficient to feed a multitude of 10,000 persons. It's interesting that a little further on in the same chapter, the gospel writer returns to this incident. And this is what he says in John 6:23. "There came other small boats from Tiberias near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks." In other words, the gospel writer is commenting on the fact that it was the Lord's giving thanks that released that tremendous miracle of feeding the 5,000. Look on again also in John 11, perhaps the greatest miracle in a sense in the ministry of Jesus, the raising of Lazarus from the tomb after he'd been there 4 days. This is the record. "And so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised His eyes and said, 'Father, I thank Thee that Thou heardest Me, and I knew that Thou hearest Me always, but because of the people standing around I said it, that they may believe that Thou didst send Me.' And when He had said these things, He cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' He who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" Notice the same principle again. Jesus didn't pray to the Father. He simply gave thanks to the Father. And having given thanks, He was able to give that command of faith that brought out of the tomb a man who'd lain there 4 days dead.
You know, if deciding to give thanks to God from the belly of a whale caused Jonah to be delivered, then deciding to give thanks to God inside of whatever circumstances you find yourself is certainly the key to deliverance. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Do you long to truly know God, to actually experience a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Creator? In His newly released book, Entering the Presence of God, Derek Prince shows you the spiritual power of worship and the importance of a thankful heart. Through its pages, you'll discover how to live free from the bondage of guilt and sin and truly enter God's rest through His marvelous presence. Don't wait. Order your copy of Entering the Presence of God today. The cost is just $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the way into the very presence of God and experience the spiritual, physical, and emotional blessings that come from true worship. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order your copy of Entering the Presence of God when you visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Happy 4th of July to you. You know, we're learning from Derek Prince that if we give thanks, miracles happen. In fact, some of the greatest miracles of Jesus' ministry were actually initiated by thanksgiving. If that's true, It's a key to our lives. It's a key to the blessing on our families. It's a key to the blessing on our nation. Let's listen.
See the tremendous potential of giving thanks to release God's miracle-working power in our lives. Not merely does giving thanks release the miracle-working power of God, but after God's miracle-working power has been set in operation in our lives, giving thanks sets the seal on the blessings we've already received. It makes them permanent. There's a beautiful example of this in the story of the 10 lepers who met Jesus. I'll read this account from Luke 17, verses 12 through 19. As Jesus was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." It's important to note the different words that are used in the various phases of that story. All 10 lepers were cleansed. All were healed physically. But something completely extra, and the most important thing of all, happened to the one man who returned to give thanks. Jesus said to him in verse 19, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." That's the English translation, but the word translated in Greek is sozo, which is the standard Greek word for to save. And the word sozo nearly always indicates something more than merely physical or temporary provision of God. It's the all-inclusive word for salvation. And so you see there was an important difference between the 9 who were healed physically and the 10th who came back to give God thanks and was not merely healed physically, but he was saved. His soul was saved. He was brought into a right eternal relationship with God. The 9 lepers received a blessing that was partial and temporary. The 10th received a blessing that was total and permanent. What made the difference? It was giving thanks that made the difference. And the same is true in our lives. Giving thanks for blessings already received sets the seal of permanence upon them. Notice that thankfulness often goes with humility.
You know, Derek has just alluded to one of my favorite stories in the gospel. In Luke 17, a number of lepers are healed. In other words, their bodies are freed of leprosy. But the Bible says that one went back to Jesus to give thanks. And in the Greek, it makes it very clear that he was made whole. It's a different word from the word healed in the Greek. In other words, 9 of them, or the majority of them, all of them, in fact, of the 10, were healed of their physical leprosy. But only one was made whole of the tracks of that leprosy in their soul. In other words, their souls no longer were leprous as their bodies had been. It's a powerful truth about how we're made whole as we offer the thanks and the worship to God that He is due. Do that today on this 4th of July. Thank God for what He's done in our nation. Thank Him for what He's done in our lives. Be made whole. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment to order your copy of Derek's new and inspiring book, Entering the Presence of God. Available right now for only $12.95. Simply call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is only $12.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order your copy of Entering the Presence of God securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org.